Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Memhe. In the beginning of the fourth parak, we started off the discussion about what happens when you leave your tchum. Not because you volitionally do so, you're not allowed to do so, but you were forced out of your tchum. So you cannot re-enter your tchum, as we talked about. That's out of the question. It's just a question of whether or not you can walk around in the new area that you're in. If there's no enclosure, so then all you have is Dalamas. If there is an enclosure that you find yourself in, so that's a machlokus between Tanaim, between Rabbi Gamliel, together with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, against Rabbi Akiva, together with Rabbi Yoshua. Good. And that was really the first thing, and that was the first discussion within the fourth parak of Shabbos. Then the Gemara asked a question, which you'll see pop up again and again. Does tchum apply above 10 tfachim? Meaning that we know that tchum follows the ground, but when if you're above 10 tfachim, is there tchum over there? Gemara had a fantastic discussion regarding this question. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. And that took us all the way to Daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara in Mem Gimel talked about Rabbi Gamliel and his little surveying tool that was able to tell whether or not they were within 2,000 amas. And that took us up to Daf Mendal. Daf Mendal, which was yesterday's Daf, so we spoke about the human wall. Human wall, another great discussion within the fourth parak of Erevin, is the discussion in which, can you on Shabbos make a wall made out of human beings? Okay, have them stand side by side. They don't have to actually physically be touching one another, as long as they're within three tefachim of one another. And so we have the principle of Lavud. And now can we make a wall out of human beings? What are we going to gain by that? By making a wall of human beings. So the Gemara brought a scenario in which, let's say by accident, somebody left his tchum, and now he finds himself outside of tchum, and he can't walk back inside again. So now what? So if you have now a wall, an enclosure, so then that would allow him to walk within the totality of this enclosure. If that enclosure allowed him passage back into his original tchum, so then he walks back into his original tchum, and now, good, he's back to where he started off Shabbos with his original tchum intact. This was the question of whether or not you're allowed to make a human wall. And essentially, the Gemara's answer is you can. You absolutely can make a human wall on Shabbos. With only one real proviso. And that is that the people who are there forming the wall cannot be knowledgeable of the fact that they're actually making a wall. It has to be, the Gemara's language is shelo ladas. It has to be not within their knowledge of the people who are making the wall. Now, obviously, that's a serious provision, meaning to get an assemblage of people together not knowing that they're making a wall on Shabbos. Okay, hard to imagine, but that's the Gemara says that's the
Kiddush.
Okay, right, correct. We're gonna paint the scenario in just a moment, in which it's this is in fact can be done. The Gemara. I'm sorry. Before I go on, Rashi Shalola Das. If you take a look at Rashi on the Gemara, I'm on Memdala Mudbeis, right? Just taking us a quick tour through the fourth parak. I'm on Mendal Medbeis. So Rashi over there, right? Shalola Das Mutar de Mishum Asiyas Ola Like Alamemra De Ain Derech Binyan Bekach. So Rashi writes very simply: this is not the way you build. Meaning that constructing a wall on Shabbos may be a violation of Bona, but not under these circumstances. A, when there are human people being served as the material, the building blocks, and B, when they don't even know that they're actually forming a wall. Meaning, so it's Ain Derech Binyan Bekach. It's such an unusual way to do so. So therefore, it's on Shabbos, it's fine, it's not a problem. Rashi's language of Ein Derech Binyan Bekach, we had a similar idea that, in other words, let me take one step back. Usually we say Shinui is rabbinically prohibited. Meaning if I do a malacha, but I do it in an unusual way, so it's still rabbinically prohibited. I write with my left hand instead of my right hand. Okay, it's not a malacha to write with my left hand, assuming I'm writing, but it's still asur mid rabbanan to write with your left hand. If you want to minimize the amount of chilul Shabbos, let's say you're a doctor, you need to write, and you want to minimize the amount of chilul Shabbos, so then you can write with your left hand. But in other words, it's still asur mid rabbanan. When Rashi writes over here, ain darko bekach, ain dark minyan bekach, Rashi's saying it's totally mutter, meaning it's not even an issur de rabbanan, because this is not just a shinui. This is just simply, this is not building, right? This doesn't fall under the category of building. Another example I could think of where Rashi uses the same type of thought process is by cooking with the sun, right? Do you remember back in Shabbos, we had a discussion that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, 1/39 malachas, but you can cook with the sun. So if you take the sun's heat, and thank God we have the sun's heat these days, You take the sun's heat and you put a food directly under the sun, so that's fine. That you're allowed to do on Shabbos. It's not asim mit derabanan, it's totally mutter. So you're allowed to cook with the sun. Why should that be? So if you look back on Rashi, I don't remember the daf, you'll forgive me, but you look back on Rashi, Rashi says, ein derech bishul bekach, because that's not cooking. Meaning this is not cooking with a shinui, it's just simply not cooking. It's such an unusual and non-conventional way of doing it, it's just simply not cooking. So here also, it's the same basic idea. Meaning, yeah, you're not allowed to build a wall on Shabbos, of course. But it's with people, and they don't even know that they're being used. Ein derech minyan mekach, this is just so unusual. Okay. Anyway, that's just a large picture of what we've been discussing now for the past couple of days. In the Gemara now, we're on Mem Daf Amud Beis. Today's daf is Daf Mem Hey. And we are at the two dots of Hanu B'nei Ganana. Okay, it's five lines down from the top of the Amud. And now the Gemara is going to give us a couple of stories where basically we did it. We used the human wall. So Hanu B'nei Ganana, Da'ayla Maya B'mechitza Shal B'nei Adam. So there was B'nei Ganana, people of the garden, who were using a human wall in order to get water, gain access to water. Now, Gina Shmuel, so Shmuel heard this, and what did he do? He gave Malchus. In other words, he wasn't happy. Malchus, by the way, can be given over violating Yisur Durabanan. Over here, we're talking about the violation of an Yisur Durabanan. Still, Malchus Mardus. So, Amri, Mamur Shalom, Das Yom Ladas. So Shmuel says, look, it's allowed, but only if the participants of the human wall don't know that they're actually being used as a wall. You cannot, on Shabbos, actually have knowing and willing participants of making a human wall. There were these jugs that were left out in the town of Mechuzah. It was a rechov, it was a street. It was a Rishus HaRabim. Aylin and Niale. So Rava now was giving shir. And because Rava was giving shir, there was a ton of people surrounding Rava as he was giving shir. Here you go. Here's the scenario where you have basically a human wall. People now, so many people crowded around Rava that basically now, even though they were in the street in the Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, the jugs were now encircled, inscribed by the human wall, a group of people. So what'd he do? He was able to now pick up the jugs, even though he's in a Rishus HaRabim, he was able to pick up the jugs, and basically, as he walked, the walls followed him. Must have been an unbelievable sight. And he was able to bring the jugs back into his house. Now, he thought to himself, what a great maneuver. Can I do this next Shabbos? Meaning, so now the following Shabbos, he's giving shir out in the street, and he wants to know that he can do it. So, and they said to him, no, you can't do it. Because Jews are pretty smart people. They figured out that the reason why Rava enjoyed the assemblage right in the middle of the street, that it created for him a human wall. And so the next Shabbos, all of them now become willing participants of the human wall. That's what's called Ladas, and therefore it's going to be Aser. Levi Alei Tivna. Gemara now gives quick snippets. Levi brought in straw using a human wall. Ziri as pasta. Ziri brought in this basically straw, animal fodder, if you will. Rav Shimon bar Chiya Maya and Rav Shimon bar Chiya brought in water. So once again, you see that on occasion, even the Amoraim used the human wall, the ability to create a wall on Shabbos by having people standing one next to another. Again, with the provision that Shalom Midas, that it's simply without their knowledge. So, it's from the context of what we just saw, it's almost like a one-time use. Like, you could do this one time, in case of emergency, create human wall. But to do this regularly, obviously, is not going to be feasible. Good. We start now the next Mishnah. Before we start the Mishnah, just a quick introduction. We learned the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Right, you saw the new moon. So what do? You get on your horses. And here, do I mean that literally? Almost. Almost literally. But in other words, you get going. You go to Yerushalayim because you want to tell the base in Yerushalayim you saw the new moon. Now, probability is you're not the only one who saw the new moon. And there are probably others who saw the new moon. But, doesn't matter. You get up and you go. You pick up and you go. And you move to Yerushalayim. And you want to tell the Beis Din by the end of that day, hey, I saw the new moon. By the way, when do you see the new moon? At what time during the day do you see it? So you see it right before nightfall. So the new moon is following the sun. So immediately after the sunset, the sunset, you're going to be witness to the new moon. So the so you're going to be running to Beis Din now in order to tell them. And even if that means you don't live within Tchum of Yerushalayim, you live outside the Tchum of Yerushalayim, right? You're in the city of, I mean, there's so many cities, you know, we could point to, right, along Route 1. But in other words, you gotta walk past Tchum, beyond Tchum, in order to get to Yerushalayim. Good. Now you get to Yerushalayim, so you're sitting there in the lobby together with hundreds of other people who also saw the new moon. You are somewhat despondent, although if you remember your Mishnayos from Rosh Hashanah, they made a huge Kiddush, so you get to enjoy the Kiddush because they want to encourage you to come. They don't want people to think someone else will take care of it. So they had a Kiddush that encouraged everyone to come. Good. But now you're sitting there in the courtyard in Yerushalayim, and you're beyond your Tchum, and now what? So enjoy the rest of the Shabbos right there in the courtyard. Okay? That was the original position. It's a little bit difficult now to know that here you go to walking to Yerushalayim, and what's the reward? That you're going to be confined and limited to the courtyard in Yerushalayim. By the way, Tosfos over there in Rosh Hashanah, if I remember correctly, why not enjoy the entirety of Yerushalayim? Isn't Yerushalayim a walled city? So at least not be confined to the courtyard, but why not be allowed to walk over the entirety of Yerushalayim? Tosfos there in Rosh Hashanah asked the question. Okay. But in the meantime, however, that's your reward.
How did they get there? I mean, did they actually have to walk
only? Walk, or if the person was immobile, so then he was picked up by other people and carried over there. No animals, no. You have to be within walking distance. So the that's not exciting a reward. Even with a kiddush, it's not an exciting reward that now you're going to be basically locked up in the chutz of Yerushalayim. So they realize that. And they therefore said, look, generally speaking, when you leave your tchum, like we've been discussing since the beginning of the fourth parak of Erevin, you are only allowed, if you have no confined area, you only have four amas. If you are within a confined area, you can walk within the confined area. Good, we talked about the ship, the boat, good. But if you went out of your tchum because of a mitzvah, so now what the chachamim are going to allow you to do is give you a new 2,000 amas. Okay? This was a takana that was there to basically encourage people to do mitzvahs, like Eidos HaChodesh, like saving somebody's life. In other words, so now you're in this new location, and the Chachamim did not want you to think twice at all about doing this mitzvah of testifying to the new moon, of saving somebody's life. So therefore, what happens is that after the Maisa, after you did whatever you need to do, testify about the new moon, or save somebody's life, you are then rewarded with a new set of tchum, and of course, obviously, wherever the incident occurred, that's your new makom shvisa, and now the 2,000 amas goes out from wherever you ended up being. Okay. By the way, even with this new takana of the chachamim, you can't go back home. Meaning, hold on one second. We're going to get to that point. That is an excellent point. Just one second. I just want to first start off with the ground rules. You can't go back home. Meaning, the only thing that the Chachamim allowed you to do, and even this was a new takana, was to give you 2,000 amos from the new place where you're at. Okay, that's all by way of introduction. And now we can start with our Mishnah. Misha yatsa birishus. You left your tchum with permission. Permission over here means that you are en route to do a mitzvah, like I described in the introduction, like Kiddush HaChodesh, like saving somebody's life. And they said to you, look, I'm really sorry, but you're not needed. Thanks for coming. You have 2,000 amas. Okay, good. In other words, the point the Mishnah is making is, I mean, the Mishnah already assumed that we knew everything I mentioned in the introduction. That the original takana was that you didn't have 2,000 amas, and that you were confined to the enclosed area, and that the Chachamim awarded you 2,000 amas. Our mission over here is telling us is that even if you weren't needed, so you went there, and you weren't needed, you too are also going to be rewarded this 2,000 amas from this new point of center. Now, what if when you learn this information, you're not needed, you find yourself within your own tchum. So you're good. Ki'ilu lo yatsa. It's as if he never left. Now Phil's looking at me with the perfect look of okay, but what's the chiddush? Meaning, You didn't leave your tchum. What's the chiddush? Gemara is going to ask that question. Kol hayotzin lahatzil chozer limkoman. And then contrary to everything I said in the Mishnah. Right, you like that, right? I set us up. Contrary to everything I said in the Mishnah, then what does the Mishnah say? If you go out to save somebody, chozer limkoman, you go back to your place. Okay. Which the Gemara is going to be bothered by, meaning we spent the totality of the Mishnah talking about how you get a new 2,000 amas, that was a special takana, and then the Mishnah kind of like blows everything up, and the Mishnah says, go back home.
That's for saving people.
Well, okay, we're gonna discuss. Well, they're not going to know until the witnesses come. Yeah, good. That's the right question. That's the correct question. Musaf for Rosh Chodesh for the mass public is going to be very difficult to let them know.
Said until afternoon, late afternoon.
Okay, but you're right. No, you're right. You're right. So that's okay. When we learn Rosh Hashanah, okay. Repeat question. That's the right question. That is the right question to ask. But right now we're in the world of Tchum. We're just right now. Our focus is going to be on Tchum for today. Now, so now, I get everything in the Mishnah, but obviously there are a couple of very basic issues. Issue number one, says the Gemara. You're en route to go to testify about the new moon, to save somebody's life, and you get a tap on the shoulder, you're not needed. Okay? And you're still within your original tchum. Okay? The Mishnah says it's like you didn't leave. Okay? Meaning, I need a Mishnah to tell me that? So, So the Gemara says, you know what the Mishnah is telling us, according to Rabbah, the following. When you're walking out of your house, and you're thinking now, I'm going to Yerushalayim. Okay? Even if you're still within your original tchum, you have now a new mindset. You're basically saying, that was my Makom Shvisa, I'm now en route to make a new Makom Shvisa. I'm going to Yerushalayim. And what you could have argued, I mean, I'm giving away the next line of Gemara, but it's fine. What you could have argued is that you have now, the moment you step foot out of your house, you have forfeited your house as your Makom Shvisa. And even if you were stopped, let's say, 1,000 amas outside of your house, the argument you could have made is, that house, that's not your Makom Shvisa. It's now wherever you're informed that you are... That you're not needed, that now becomes your new Makom Shvisa. It's like basically, in other words, on Shabbos, you know, like where you're tethered to your house, meaning I know not with a real rope, but with a halachic rope, you're tethered to your house. When you say, I'm now going to Yerushalayim, it's as if basically you're in a hooking the whatever that thing is called, right? Okay, good. My knowledge of rock climbing is extensive. So you're unhooking the thing, and you are now basically walking. Now, and you don't have, you're basically unlocked, you're unhooked. And wherever you're told, you're not needed, boom. That now becomes your Makom Shvisa. That was the thinking behind the Mishnah. And the point the Mishnah is making is, no. As long as within your original tchum, you basically now are recentered back to, not recentered, you go back to your original center of your house. That, says the Gemara, is the halacha, is what the Mishnah is teaching us according to Rabbah.
How do they allow you to establish new tchum?
Right, correct. Meaning, you're correct. Originally, you weren't establishing a new tchum. When you went to Yerushalayim originally, that's it. You only were allowed to walk in and out around the chatzer. But you couldn't even leave the chatzer. The Chachamim realized, this is not going to work. So the Chachamim reinstituted. Meaning, that was a new takana of the Chachamim to give you a new set of tchum. But you're right though. Before that, the thinking was one tchum per Shabbos. That's it. Pshita ma'udetei mahol va'akar akar kamash malan. Good. So that's what we just explained within Rabbah. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. It's a chiddush, but Rav Shimi is going to say even a bigger chiddush. Rav Shimi barchi amar hachi kamar. No, you want to know what the chiddush of our Mishnah is? It goes like this. Rishimi bar Chia says, look, here's what happened. Here, you leave your house. You walk out 3,000 amas to go do whatever you need to do. You're en route to do a mitzvah. Eidos HaChodesh or saving somebody's life. And then 3,000 amas outside of your house, you get a tap on the shoulder, you're not needed. It's okay. We're good. And now you stop. And now the Chachamim awarded you a new tchum. It happens to be that this new tchum can allow you back into your old tchum. So basically, now how do we look at this? Do we say, look, that was the old tchum, this is a new tchum, Shalma Yisrael, you're done? Meaning you can't go back home? Or no? Do we say that as long as the new tchum allows you back into the old tchum, you're good? You can now walk back into your old tchum and then reestablish yourself with the original tchum of Shabbos. So according to Rav Shimon Bar Chiya, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. That as long as you, I'm going to read it in the words of the Mishnah. Im haya betoch ha-tchum, if you were within tchum. Now what does that mean, you? So according to Rava, that means literally you. According to Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, it means if your new tchum, im haya besoch ha-tchum, if your new tchum was within your old tchum, so ki'il ol-yatsa, so that's good. Meaning now you can walk back into your old tchum, and now you can walk back home. It's a, and obviously it only works with an overlap. Correct. So and now the Gemara spells it out exactly what Ben just said. Overlapping tchumim. How do we look at overlapping tchumim? Do we basically say once you have an overlapping tchumim? Now again, it's a strange discussion because normally on Shabbos, how many tchumim are you given? One. So how can you have one tchum overlap with another? Now the answer to that riddle is going to be based on what we just talked about. If you go out on Shabbos because of a mitzvah, and now you were stopped, you're given a new tchum. If the new tchum encroaches on your old tchum, so according to Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, you're good. Right? It's the way the Gemara phrases it is, havlas tchumim milsa, that the absorption of tchumim, where one tchum encroaches on another, that's considered significant. Rabbah's obviously going to disagree. Rabbah's going to say no. Once you're given a new tchum, you have totally forfeited your old tchum. You can't walk back home. What about the fact that your new tchum is enveloped within the old tchum? Doesn't matter, says Rava. I don't believe in this havlas tchumim. So Amalei Abai LaRava V'atlo Tizra Davlas Tchumim Melzehi Uma Ilu Shabbos Bemara Shibesochar Ba'alpayim V'agagah Pachos Me'arbayim Alpayim Ama Lo Nimsa Mahalachis Kula V'chutzal Alpayim Ama. So they say to Rava, how could you not be a believer in this idea of Havlas Tchumim? Imagine the following scenario. Now, in our Gemaras, even if you don't have fancy Gemaras and you don't have picture books, you still see a picture. Basically, your makam shvisa, your house is a cave in the ground. Okay? And a cave is such where it's a huge cave, huge underground cave, and it's from end to end 4,000 amas. From one end of the cave to the other end of the cave. But that's your house. It's furnished, it's nice, so you have some lighting there. Okay, beautiful. You live underground. Now, as far as halach is concerned, how is that viewed? That entire underground cave? That's immense, 4,000 amas. It's viewed as, for Shabbos purposes, no, I'd say nothing. Dal amos, meaning that's your house. Okay, good. Now, in order to get from your house, which is a cave underground, and to go up, so basically you have a little tunnel, and you have a tunnel on both ends of the cave. It happens to be that these tunnels don't go straight up, but basically come in a little bit, so that when you're at one entrance of the house, of the cave, you're going to be within 4,000 amas of the other entrance. Okay, so far so good. What we learned is in this brisa is here's what you can do. Now, in the house itself, you can walk wherever you want. Remember, a house is dal amos, meaning that's halachically nothing. But now, as you surface to the ground, so now as you walk one entrance, as you go up, let's say the east entrance of the cave, so now you can walk 2,000 amas one direction, 2,000 amas in another direction. It happens to be that when you walk 2,000 amas westbound towards the other entrance, it happens to be you're going to be within the tchum of the western entrance. So can I do the following? Can I climb up the east entrance and walk all the way to the western entrance of my cave? And the answer is going to be yes, you can. Why? Because enveloping tchumim. Because I have the eastern and the western, because they don't go straight up, but because they come in a little bit, and because there's going to be a little overlap between the eastern entrance and the western entrance, between the tchum of the eastern and the western entrance. So therefore, we look at the overlapping tchum and say, you now can walk. It's going to be about, what do you want to say? 3,800 amos, whatever the case is. From here to here. I normally on Shabbos can't walk 3,800 amos. Here I could because they're enveloping one another.
Why don't we consider the cave as Brish HaYachet?
We are.
But why did it come in then?
Right. So the cave is the Rosh HaYachet. The ground overhead is not. Now, you can argue with me, and you can always argue with me, but you could say that the area above is also considered Rosh HaYachet, Rosh HaYachet Ola L'Rakia, but the Gemara doesn't view it that way. The Gemara views the area over the top as just simple road. Now, I'll just quickly walk us through an interesting discussion over here. Rashi writes the following. Rashi says, there's a lot of Rashi on this Amud. I'm looking at the Rashi starting with the words Rav Shimi, Savar Ba Havla Milsehi. So we just got it. I'm sorry, before I get to this point in Rashi, let me first finish up the Gemara's thought, and then we'll go back to the point of Rashi and Tosfos. So, Umar Savala Milsi, Amalei Abai LaRava, Valo Tizbra, I read all this, I'm sorry. Davlas Tchum and Milsi, Umay Ilu Shabbos, Bemar Shabbatocha, Arba Alpaim, Vialgaga Pachos, Me Arba Alpaim Mama, Lo Nimsa, Maachitz Kula, Vechutzal Alpaim Mama, Amar Le, Velo Shanilach, Main Hecha de Shabbos Ba'aver Mechitzos, Mi Ba'od Yom, Lecha de Lo Shabbos Ba'aver Mechitzos, Mi Ba'od Yom. So the Gemara says, come on, you don't see the basic difference in the case of the underground cave. So that was how you started Shabbos. So in other words, the eastern entrance that goes up to the ground and the western entrance that goes up to the ground, that was all part of your tchum going into Shabbos. And so therefore, of course you can walk all the way from the east to all the way to the west when you're above ground because all that was set up going into Shabbos. Here, what you're arguing is that a new tchum that was assigned to you, if it's within the parameters of your old tchum, so that's also considered havla. That, says Rava, I object to, I don't agree to that, and therefore, says Rava, you can't do it. Meaning so that if you walk 3,000 amos on Shabbos, and then you get a tap on the shoulder, and you're told, I'm really sorry, we don't need you, so that now becomes your new Makom Shvisa. You can only walk 2,000 amos from your new Makom Shvisa. What about the fact that the new Makom Shvisa allowed you access into your old Tchum? Rava says, I don't care. Meaning it doesn't, in other words, you're only given a new 2,000 amos, even if it goes back to your original Tchum. Rava says, it doesn't matter to me. Good. Now, on this entire discussion, so Rashi's bothered by the following. You remember what we learned just a couple short days ago, in the beginning of the fourth parak? We talked about how the guy, by accident, went outside of Tchum, or he was forced outside of Tchum, and now he needs to go to the bathroom. Right, remember? And so what did we say? We said that this person now who wants to go to the bathroom and therefore demands privacy, and there's human dignity, and there's covenant of brios, so therefore what can this person do? He can walk back into his tchum, and once he's back in his tchum, Shalma Yisrael. So now he's good. Okay? Well, okay, this is also kind of onus because he went out on Shabbos because of a mitzvah. So you can argue this is also kind of onus. But we're gonna try to strike a different distinction. Although first we'll start with Rashi. Rashi says, you know, that Gemara previously, Rabbah must not hold of that Gemara. Why? Because essentially, isn't that the same thing over here? Where you walked out of your 2,000 amos, and now you got a tap on the shoulder, and you're saying, look, I'm really sorry, but kvar nasa maisa, we don't need you anymore. And so now, our Gemara, according to Rava, says, here's your new Makom Shvisa, this is now, all you have is 2,000 amos, and that's it. What about the fact that the 2,000 amos allows you back to your original tchum? No, doesn't matter. Rava says. So Rashi comes to the conclusion that Rava over here doesn't agree with the Gemara about the bathroom. Meaning in the case of the bathroom, again, everyone certainly agrees, you certainly have rights to privacy, and you certainly have rights to covenant brios, but even though you're in your original tchum, Rava will tell you you can't walk home. Contrary to what the Gemara said just two short days ago. Good. That's Rashi. You can see the Rashi in the long Rashi of Rav Shimi Tzavar. Now take a look at Tosfos. Could you argue this point? Yeah. Tosfos does. So Umar Savar Avlas Tchumim Lav Milsehi. Persha Kunshus Valeif Leila Rava Hadda Nahar Daida Amrila El. Ipikechu Ayla Tchumim Bekevin Da Al Al. So Rashi says that Rava doesn't agree with that psak of Nahar Dai. And then Ulari Nira De Islay Hadda Nahar Dai. And the Ri says, no. I could see a total difference between the cases. Kevin shenichnas b'tchuma mimei kavod abrios v'yatsa midal amosav. Kevin shetzarich liten lo dal amos chadashos yachol lachzor litnos tchuma harishon. Look, in the case of the bathroom, you have to go. Right? Nature calls, and there's a concept in the Torah called kavod abrios. And so now, as much as you are in a new circumscribed area of your Dal Amos, because you had to go to the bathroom, you're forced out of this area. And so now you're awarded with a new Tchum. Once you're awarded with a new Tchum, and once you find yourself in your old original Tchum, so we're going to say, you know what you just were awarded with? Your original Tchum. Avahacha, mikaven shiyatza chutz mitchumo, v'kanu lo Tchum acher, but here, look what's happening. You left your original tchum. You're en route to do a mitzvah. You were stopped in the middle. Now what happens is, you're giving a replacement tchum. It's not now this and that. It's now a replacement tchum. The new 2,000 amos that the Chachamim awarded you is not just simply, here's an additional tchum, but it replaces the original tchum. So for now, this is all, again, the thought process of Rava. So for now, for you to pick up and go home, you can't. Because even though the new tchum encroaches on the old tchum, there is no old tchum. The old tchum is gone. All you have now is the new tchum. So Rava's going to tell you, you can't walk home because there is no encroachment. It just simply doesn't encroach upon the old tchum. Tosfos says that's the difference between the two cases, and that's why in the case of the bathroom, of course you're allowed to walk home because you're going to get awarded a new tchum, and now, as long as we're awarding, here you go, here's your original tchum. Here, however, your old tchum was replaced by the new tchum. So there is no old tchum. Okay. So, good. Interesting discussion between Rashi and Tosfos. How to view this new tchum that was given to you by the Chachamim? Is it an addition to your old tchum, or is it a replacement of your old tchum? Okay. We're on the bottom of the Amud. In the Gemara now, we're continuing. We're on the bottom of Memdal Amud Beis. The Gemara says, why don't we all consider the following Mishnah, which we're going to see shortly in the daf. It's coming up next week. Let's say you walked outside of your tchum, and you're only two short amas from your tchum. So Rabbi Eliezer says, not a problem. Go back home. Meaning because, as we learned time and again, once you leave your tchum, all you're given is four amas. You're at the center of those four amas. So that means that you're allowed to walk two amas in each direction. Those two amas now allow you to go back into your original tchum. However, if you are three amas outside of your old tchum, now you're stuck. Because you're one amas too far away. So my love, Rabbi Eliezer, Latami Damar, Vahu Bam San, Varba Amos, Dehavale Rabbanan, Kemandi Mivlan Dama, Vekami Yikanez. So the Gemara says now, isn't this all based on the concept of Havla'a? Aren't you allowed back into your original tchum because of the concept of Havla? Because your new Rishus on Shabbos, your new tchum on Shabbos, which is only four amas, is enveloped in the old tchum? Amah Havla's tchum and Milsihi? Amalei Rava, Babrachan, Labaye, Umidere Rabbi Eliezer, Kamosiv Le, Lamar? So, wait a second, stop. You're asking me a question based on opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? That's very strange. He's a shemuti. He's not normally the accepted halacha. Amalein, Dishmilei minei damar ad kan lo pligi rabban alad rabbi Lazar el aladvar rishus avaladvar mitzvah modulei. Yes. The only point of argument of contention is whether or not he went out because he was doing a mitzvah, or he went out simply because he just went out. Meaning Dvar Rishos. No compelling reason why he did that. That's the only time where the Chacham and Rabbi Lazar disagree. But everybody agrees with Dvar Mitzvah that if you go out and you're only within two amas of your old tchum, you can walk back into your old tchum. Why? Havla, because it's this idea of absorbing tchumim. So therefore, it seems clear, says Rabbi Shimi Bar Chiya, that I am correct, that if you have one tchum being absorbed in another tchum, it allows you access into the original tchum. So that'd be true if you're within two amas, and that would also be true in the case where you're going out l'dvar mitzvah, and you're awarded a new 2,000 amas, and those 2,000 amas are encroaching on the old 2,000 amas, that you can also walk back home as well. Okay, good. Good discussion. I know a little bit complicated, but a good discussion about basically what happens when one tchum is absorbed in another tchum. And now we get on to the last line of the Mishnah, which, as I mentioned, when we learn the Mishnah, seems to blow up really the entirety of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah talks about how when you leave your tchum on Shabbos, so that's it. You can't go back home. And we just spent a half an hour in the daf talking about what happens. Can you go back home if your new tchum encroaches upon your old tchum? And then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, go back home. Can't be. Can't possibly be that the Mishnah means that you're allowed to go back home, because we just, what happened to the last half hour of our discussion about an old tchum enveloped in the new tchum? It can't be. So what does the Mishnah mean then? And the Gemara basically formulates this question. I don't understand. The Mishnah starts off with the premise that all you have is your new tchum of 2,000 amas. You can't go back home. So what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says you can go back home? So Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Shechosim B'Kli Zaylim, come on. So we're going to give now a couple of approaches of how to understand that last line of the Mishnah. Approach number one, offered to us by Rav Yehuda Amrav. Here's the story. You're going out, you're armed. Meaning, you're not going out for Eid HaSachodesh, or it could be you're going out for Eid HaSachodesh. But in other words, you need security, protection. And so what you do is you go out like the knights. But in other words, but you have a shield, and you have a sword, and in other words, you go out with armory. You remember back in Shabbos, we talked about whether or not that's considered clothing or it's not considered clothing. Right.
The five takanot that if you're in a war, you don't have to worry about Eruv
Chatzeres. You don't have to worry about Tchum. You do have to worry about Eruv Chatzeres. You don't. Shechozim b'kli zayin l'mekoman. So the Gemara says that you can look now to go out with the shield and the sword and the helmet. Fine, that's clothing that is necessary. But now you get tapped on the shoulder, you don't need it anymore. Can I wear it back? You can't go back home. Meaning all you have now is 2,000 amas. But at least within those 2,000 amas that I have, can I wear it around with, can I wear all the weaponry then? So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, chozrin lim koman. I know it's not pashut pshat in the Mishnah, but again, it can't be. We can't understand Pasha Pasha in the Mishnah. We have to say something in the Mishnah, so that's what it means. The Gemara says, well, really the question becomes even stronger when you consider the following. Again, we go back to the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah. Everything I said in the introduction to the Mishnah. Look, originally when you went to Yerushalayim, you got stuck in the Chatzer. And then Hitkin Rabbi Gamliel Azakin, and then Rabbi Gamliel Azakin made the takana sheish la mapai mam lechol ruach, that you're given a new tchum. V'lo elu bavada amar alafilu chacham abale leleid v'habal atzel min agayis u min anar u min amapolos u min adleika harei hein kanche ir v'yesh la mapai mama lechol ruach. And not just the person who gives Eid HaSachodesh, but anyone involved in life-saving activity. You're a firefighter, you're a midwife, you're saving somebody from drowning. Anytime you're involved in life-saving activity, you're then given a new tchum for Shabbos. This is a takana made by Rabbi Gamliel. V'sula v'ha amar kol yotzal hatzal chozal and kaman afilu tuva. Now we're going to ask again the same basic question. Meaning, what about our mission Erevin? That was a mission Rosh Hashanah. What about our mission Erevin? So Amrav Yehuda Amrav Shechozim B'Kli Zayin Lim Kamam Kidetanya. So the Gemara says again, we're going to give the same answer. It does not mean that you can go home. It means that You can wear your weaponry even after you find out that you're not needed anymore. The Tosefta tells us that originally what happened was after the job was done, so they dropped all the weapons. And the Gemara tells a terrible incident where one time they dropped it right by the entrance of the wall. Pamachas Hikiru Bahen Oivim. So now enemy saw that after we went back home, so and we dropped all of our weapons, and so that we saw now that we were vulnerable. And so what they did is they ran to get the weapons. But there was a lot of tumult and there was a lot of just anarchy. And because of the panic and the anarchy, so we ended up killing more of each other than the enemies actually killed us as well. So at that point in time, the Chachamim said, look, obviously, for whatever reason, you're going out with your weaponry on Shabbos, even after we no longer, quote-unquote, need the weaponry, you could still wear the weaponry all the way back to wherever you're allowed to walk to on Shabbos. Okay. Adkan. So again, so what does our Mishnah mean when it says Chozalim Koman? It doesn't mean you can go beyond 2,000 Amos. That's a given. What the Mishnah means is that wherever you can walk on Shabbos, you can still continue to wear your armory. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Lo Kashya, the Gemara now is going to give a different proposal and a different answer to the questions. And really a much easier one. And that's the following. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says all you have is 2,000 Amos. Our Mishnah says, Chozer Lim Komam, you can go back home. Depends who the victor of the battle is. If we won the battle, 2,000 Amos. If we lost the battle, you go back home. In other words, it's really simple. If we're retreating because we lost, so at that point in time, now we're talking pikuach nefesh. We're talking about now, really, everyone's life's in jeopardy. We lost the battle. We're retreating. There does not need to be any consideration of 2,000 amas. If, however, we're the victors of the battle, so that's great. What about the fact now that we left Chum? So now, You can, because of the Takana Rabbi Gamliel, you now have a new 2,000 Amas, starting from the battlefield and from wherever you want. I know, it almost sounds like that's what you get for winning, right? But the answer is yes, of course. Meaning, big picture, you won the battle. And now, in terms of Tchum Shabbos, they're awarded a new Tchum.
The thing is, if you're talking about an army, you're talking about thousands of people, so... Is it a collective,
Right? Correct. It's a good question. I see your question very clearly. I don't know. You made a wall. You didn't make a wall. I don't know. The Gemara quotes in the name of the following halach. It's not going to sound logical as first presented, but just wait a second, because you'll see in the context of the Brice, it'll make a lot of sense. If I have non-Jews who are sieging a city, a Jewish city, so we don't go out to battle, and we're not Mechal Shabbos, and the first reaction to that should be, what? Really? So, again, in the context of what we're about to learn, it makes sense. Okay, important now, qualifier, meaning, if all they're doing is coming to take money, and nobody's life is in jeopardy, so then we can't go on the attack and we cannot go on the offensive, because we've said this many times in Masechet Shabbos, it's just money. Right, the burning house, can I put out the fire? No. Here, non-Jews are coming in, and all they're doing is just coming to take money, you can't go on the attack. Now, it's interesting because I'm... I knew that was coming, and I'm happy. No, I sound like I'm disappointed. I'm happy that came. I'm also bothered by the same question as well. Habab Machteris. Someone comes into your house to steal from you, and so you have the right to protect yourself and to kill him. And Nidon Hashem Sofo, the eighth parak of Sanhedrin. So yeah, I have the same question as well. Okay, I don't have an answer. Okay, but I saw that coming. I'm sorry, pause. But if they're coming in and there's Jewish life at risk, So then you're Mechalel Shabbos, and you do whatever it takes to defend Jewish life. However, if it's a border city, so then the protection of the bordering city, meaning it's a bordering city of Israel, so then at that point in time, you do not take into any consideration why they're coming in. They're coming in because they want straw. It does not matter. You defend a bordering city at all costs. You're Mechal Shabbos, even if the intent is only to come in for money. You cannot compromise a bordering city at all. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Min Yomei, I'm Rav Nachman, Vaval Kiras Mukhalas Far Damya. And Bavel is considered a bordering city. What? What does that mean? The Gemara goes on to explain. V'tir Gemar Nehardah. Now when they say that Bavel, they don't mean the entirety of Bavel. Bavel over here is represented by the city of Nehardah. Now again, as I mentioned just the other day, I'm geographically challenged. I do not know the geography of why it should be. I should be more informed. But for some reason, Nehardah is considered basically the gateway to Bavel. Once Nehardah falls, so basically all the Jewish communities in Bavel are going to fall. So therefore, you protect Nehardah, just like a bordering city of Israel. And now the Gemara is going to point out that this halacha that we just learned is really all a Navi. Meaning if you knew Navi, you knew everything that we just said. It's great. The scholar in residence who spoke in Shabbos, right? He was, you know, he did a great job. So anyway, so he spoke about not wearing a tefillin for the Avel. And he says it's a pasuk, and he's trying to remember in Tanakh where it is. And it escaped him, where that pasuk in Tanakh was. So what did he say? Look, it's a pasuk in Moed Katan. Third parak in Moed Katan. I know that's where the pasuk is. I mean, that's, you know, unfortunately, that's where we're at. That's where I'm at. In other words, I don't know the Navi so well, but, you know your Gemara. And so you can point to where in Shas the pasuk is. Where in the Navi, that's challenging.
My the late bus is davening will begin at 8:15 due to the buses being delayed. Davening will begin at 8:15.
My dechsev, what does the pasuk say? Vayigidu leDavid leEmor, Hine plishtim nilchamim b'ki'ila, v'hem ashosim esagranos. So in Shmuel Aleph, so the story is told about the plishtim that are coming in. They're coming in for straw, for grain. That's all they're coming in for. Tana ki'ila yiras mukhlas faraisa. And now ki'ila is a bordering city. Vehem lo ba'al alis ketavim v'kash. And they're only coming in for money. Vehadichsiv vehem ashosim esagranos. Uksiv vayishal David b'hashem lemor ha'elech v'kesev b'plishtim ha'elech. So, and David asks God, what should I do? And by the way, we know. David asking God, what does that mean? Urim v'tumim. He's asking the Urim v'Tumim whether or not he should go to war. Vayomer Hashem al David lech v'kisa b'plishim v'hoshei te'etza ki'ila. And the answer is, go get him. My kami ba'elei. Now the Gemara wants to know, what was David asking? Ilei mishari yasser. Was David asking the Urim v'Tumim a halachic question? We all know you can't do that. You don't. Lo b'shamayim. It's not up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide what the halach is. Either you go or you don't go. So, Hare Beis Din Shel Shmuel Aram Asi Kayam. You have a Beis Din. So you're not asking the Urim V'Tumim whether it's halachically permissible or not. By the way, this is not mentioned in the actual Navi itself. So my statement of, if you knew the Navi, then you would know this halacha, is not necessarily true, because in the Navi it doesn't mention that all this is taking place on Shabbos. So, that's what the Gemara adds to the whole discussion. So, Ela I Matzlich Ola Matzlich. So, in terms of the halacha's concern, that's a halacha. Okay, you know your Gemara in Erevin, you know the fourth parak, you know, you go and you protect a bordering city. Even though they're only coming in for grain, doesn't matter. In terms of what he was asking the Urim V'Tumim was, success. Wouldn't it be great to know, before going to battle, if we're going to be successful or not? That's what he was asking. And the Gemara says, in fact, it's clear from the Psukim that that's the question that he was asking. Why? Because what was the answer? Go, and you're going to save them. Meaning, it wasn't a halachic question, it was whether or not we're going to be successful or not successful. Okay? We continued today, we finished up the discussion today of the human wall. The halach is that you can create a human wall, but the only provision is that the people don't know that they're actually serving as a wall. But then the Gemara told us a number of stories regarding Amoraim, who in fact employed the method of the human wall. And then we talked about, and it's a great discussion, it's a complicated one, getting a new tchum on Shabbos. If you're going out bereshus to do a mitzvah, so you're enjoying the benefit of a new tchum, and then the discussion becomes, the issue becomes, what happens to your old tchum? And what happens if the new tchum is enveloped within your old tchum? Machlokas amarayim between Rav and Rav Shimon bar Achiya, how to view the new tchum as far as the old tchum is concerned? Basically, the Gemara seems to conclude that there is this concept of a havla. If that your new tchum is enveloped, encroaches on your old tchum, you're allowed passage back into your old tchum. That's certainly true regarding two amos, like we discussed by Rabbi Eliezer. It seems to be true even if your new 2,000 amos is enveloped in your old tchum. We had a discussion today of whether or not Rabba, who doesn't agree, would go back and agree to the psak of Nahadan, the bathroom. That was a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. And then the rest of today we talked about defending Israel and defending a city, whether the attack is because of money or whether because they want to take Jewish lives. Obviously, for the latter, it's not a question. You're Mechal Shabbos. For the former, it is a question, interestingly enough. But for a bordering city, you don't take anything into account. You always defend it on Shabbos, even on Shabbos, a bordering city. Okay, continue for Shlema for Ben Yamin Zevakon Beshem Rivka for Falzak Avram Ben Yakira Aviga. Rabbi Chanan Ben Akash Aran Simrat Zekash Baruch Huzak Yisrael Ficha Chir Ben Torah Mr. Shanema Anaycha Feitza Matiko Yagdu Torah Biyadir.